With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
In for Payne and Pendergast, Sean Bajani and Brandon Scott with you on Sports Radio 610 this morning. I feel like we just did an entire segment in like 3 minutes.
We did.
The break seemed like 15 minutes. But
yeah, it did. And it was pretty good, too.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to like recount a little bit of this in our final segment today, because we gnawed off so much meat on that bone. Like, it was ridiculous.
We really did.
My gosh, 713-572-4610. A lot of you hitting us up on Twitter, and we appreciate it. At Sean Bajani, at Brandon K. Scott. Some good, some nice, some... Man, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. A lot of hate in you guys, some of you on Twitter. Somebody didn't like my opinion on the Rockets right now. I don't know what you want, but I would love to hear your actual opinion so you can call in instead of just like, because we were talking about like context and like texts and tweets. Sometimes they don't come through. Like, I am a firm believer that, you know, I am less likely to get my point across if, in fact, I text my wife something that I need like real emotion to come through via text and her actually get that versus when she texts me. Yeah. Like, I could say something and be completely sarcastic and she would want to maybe divorce me after reading my text. Whereas she texts me something, I'm like, eh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'll figure that out when I get home or I'll give her a call.
Tone through text is the hardest thing.
Tone through text is hard. But this tone through this in particular tweet about my Rockets take, man, I felt like the fire, the...
What polarizing about the Rockets did we say, though?
Like, I don't know.
Did we say anything?
Let me see. What
like,
is
I
it?
Feel like everything that we've said, really the whole show has been reasonable, but certainly on the Rockets.
They copied my daddies on this. Like, they tweeted, at Seth Payne, at Pendergast, get this idiot character Bajani off the air, please. Dead wrong for the Rockets comments. We're not in the same place as last year. I don't know if I said we're in the same place as last year, but in the respect that, like, you have any realistic expectation of this team, you know, providing any cohesiveness with a lot of talented players on this squad, it remains to be seen. Like, you have to put a staff together first, for one. But then two, this is yet another season of a building block in which neither youth as a fan base was prepared for, even just a year and a half ago, or maybe even prepared for at this point in time moving forward and how you proceed. Like, you're still trying to get out of underneath poor contracts, which the Rockets officially did yesterday in John Wall and that buyout agreement.
Yeah, the Rockets are, they're better off in the sense that, like, they're obviously better off. They just drafted a guy number 3 overall that most people think is going to be good. They just drafted 3 guys in the first round.
They drafted a guy at number 3 in Jabari Smith that I think most of the basketball world, at least for a large period of time, expected to go number 1.
Yeah.
Like,
up until like an hour before the draft.
Right.
Yeah, like
right.
For the entire time, like, that we were doing this.
You did pretty damn good, and I give them all the credit in the world. Like, the Rockets draft, I mean, you have to be extremely excited about it. My whole thing is like, similarly with the Texans, it's you're in on the ground floor. It's your opportunity right now as a fan. Like, you have a lot of young, unproven, talented players, but nobody that you're emotionally attached to, with the exception of Eric Gordon, right? If we're being fair.
Yeah.
That brings a winning pedigree, a level of expectation. But does he want to be here through it all? I think he's proven that, yeah. He's here for the long haul if you allow him to be, and he's certainly a really good guy to have in your corner to develop a lot of this young talent. It's just, it's really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of competitiveness and respectability for this Rockets team going forward.
Yeah, I think it's...
Because I don't fully trust this staff.
The Rockets staff, you
mean? The Rockets staff.
The coaching staff.
Stylus, particularly.
Yeah, okay.
I was all about him. I thought that was the right move. when they made that hire. But I think there was a dynamic last year that, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I think there was a massive discord between Lucas and Silas that you could obviously see in game.
Yeah, it is an open question, and an open and unanswered question right now as to whether Steven Silas is a good coach. Like, I don't think
it's a fair question.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Well, and we don't have an answer. We don't have like you can have an opinion, but we don't have like a definitive answer and receipts to point to that say that support one or the other. Like, it's just whatever you think of Steven Silas right now, it's just an opinion at this point.
Yeah.
Like if you like him or don't like him, it's just how you feel, because there hasn't been enough like solid, you know, like he comes into the situation, it's awful. He hasn't had a whole lot to work with, but he also hasn't really like shown you anything that makes you say, hey, when this thing finally turns, that's going to be the guy that should be the head of it.
Man.
Like neither of the two things have happened where it's been like, oh, this super concerning red flag of he can't coach, but also not necessarily this big promising element of, hey, he is the guy. That part of it to me is an open question. But I do think from a talent standpoint, the Rockets are better off than they were a year ago. But they are still in a similar situation of not expected to be in the mix, even for like a play-in, you know, the new play-in scenario where you can be the ninth or tenth seed and still make it if you play in the tournament.
You know, you said something that kind of got me thinking right now, and I know we're kind of going off a little bit off topic and what we wanted to, but, you know, talking about the situation that Silas stepped into, what do you think about the situation, you know, or the situations that the managers and coaches of this city stepped into over the course of the last few years? And I'll say general managers, really, because Cully, we know, what was that all about?
You
know,
right.
But the situation that, you know, Nick Caserio stepped into as general manager of this organization and the cleanup job that is still ongoing, I think, if we're being real, I think he's doing okay right now. I think it's a work in progress. But the situation that Silas stepped into, you know, with the Harden drama and the Wall contract and just trying to piece together a roster that you're trying to figure out who is worth the time to develop here, who is going to be long for the future. And then Dusty Baker stepping in, you know, at the height of the cheating scandal and having to be the face of, you know, or a face. Baker and James Clay. Yeah. 100%. You know, I don't know what you'd rather have had, you know, probably the Astros, you know, coming off of a World Series championship and another ALCS title. And yeah, you know, some schmuck like fire spilling the beans to the Athletic and, you know, starting this firestorm. Like, I think I'd probably rather deal with that, because at the end of the day, you're going to go out and play baseball and you get some really good baseball players.
Yes.
You know, you tend to forget about like the extracurricular when you get to do what you do when you're really good at it and you could play for something.
Yeah.
The Rockets and the Texans didn't necessarily have that benefit. Like, you knew what was going to be the deal every Sunday for the Texans. You knew what was going to be the deal every other night for the Rockets on the court. Like, it's probably not going to go down too well.
Yeah, and you got me thinking now on what I would have least rathered and most rathered. It's obviously the Astros.
I can tell you right now, I'd least rather have been in the situation where I have to fix the Houston Texans, because there are so many more moving parts.
Yeah.
And obviously with the Watson, you know, drama that was building and building and building when Caserio first took the job.
Yeah.
You know, that building from within, because we didn't know, full disclosure, everything that was going on at that point in time.
Right.
But then already coming in after, like, people knew that the Texans, you know, tried to get him, you know, illegally, you know, a couple of years prior to that. It's like, you have that to deal with. You have Bill O'Brien's crap. You have DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt departure. You have Deshaun Watson now in lawsuits. And, like, it's just a horrible, horrible optic. I'd way rather have, you know, taken that on if I had any one of those three to pick: Rockets, Texans, or Astros.
Well, and also a point that you made earlier that matters here in terms of a scenario you'd most want or least want is ownership. You know, ownership. You got Tillman Fertitta is a new owner. Cal, not as new, but still relatively new in terms of owners. Like, those are two guys that are still figuring it out, especially if we're talking about a couple of years ago or going to
100%.
You know, those are guys that are figuring it out. Whereas, you know, it's not like Jim Crane's been doing it for, but Jim Crane's got to be the owner that you feel best about
100%.
Out of all of the owners as well. So aside from the individual situation of each team, you've also got the ownership situation that you would feel best about.
You know, it's
and
funny.
It's probably the Astros.
You know, Crane came in with, if you recall, you know, there were many reports when he was in the process of buying the Astros, like how he'd handled his other businesses and those lawsuits or settlements, you know, that he'd made in terms of, like, I think it was like discrimination cases against women and things like that. Like, he had to deal with that coming in on top of the whole TV contract mess and, you know, the fact that his club was going to suck, you know, for a few years, the teardown. But the one thing that he did have going for him is he was him and Luno, you know, we're completely 100% honest in about the present and the future of the state of the organization. Like, hey, we're going to have to tear this thing down and we're doing it from the bottom up. But, you know, you'll see at the end of the day. And of course we did. Tillman Fertitta probably came in with like squeaky clean in terms of like, if you're comparing all three other, the other two owners, right? Like Cal was like, you know, we don't really know anything about this guy. Just a little bit like, he's maybe around, but how much football does he know? And he was in your face on the camera, on the microphone. That's like, yeah, it probably shouldn't be, you know.
Yeah.
Tillman even overstepped his bounds, but he kind of learned very quickly, you know, to let basketball people do their jobs. And he's going to be the owner, and that's it until further notice.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, the in terms of the squeaky clean part, because I thought about this, and I'm not trying to like demonize success or rich people.
No, but I mean, that was a poor choice of words probably, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't really come in with any drama.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying that, you know, it's hard. And please don't take this the wrong way, folks, but it's hard. It's not a lot of honorable ways to earn $1 billion. Like, or like, to like go the whole way, become a billionaire, and there be no skeletons. There be nothing.
There's
that come
always
up.
Skeletons.
So like they all kind of come with some kind of caveat of, all right, how'd this guy get $1 billion?
Like, you know what I mean? I thought this the other day, like, you know, everything that's going on with Vince McMahon, you know, like the $3 million, you know, payoff to like keep his affair hush hush. And now it's like, you know, there's allegations of him, like raping a referee or something like that.
Yeah, that did come out.
You know, like, if you stick around long enough, somebody's going to either, one, try to take you down, or you're going to go down under your own merit. Like, things are just going to come out if you stick around in something long enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way that it feels. And we could point to a lot of, you know, our favorite athletes over the course of, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, like forever. Like, you're going to find stuff out about those particular guys that aren't the most flattering, that just break your heart. And you're just like, man, ignorance is bliss.
Well, think about this or real quick before we go to break, Sean. Like, think about that 2020. Let's go before that. Let's think about the 2019 team, for example, the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had on that team Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins is on that team, Will Fuller's on that team, Bradley Roby was on that team. I know I'm getting in the weeds on some names here, but like, those were all guys that were significant contributors to the 2019 team that went to the last team to go to the playoffs for the Texans, right? Yep. Fast forward a couple of years, three of those guys have all been suspended for at least 6 games for PED use or violating the performance enhancing policy. None of them are on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way you would have thought about them then at that time.
Right.
And then obviously Deshaun Watson, the biggest shocker of them all, the way that the temperature of the room has changed and the narrative and the outlook on what that player was has changed.
We were probably having conversations of J.J. Watt retiring as a Houston Texan, DeAndre Hopkins retiring as a Houston Texan, Will Fuller being one of the most, you know, feared, you know, speedster receivers,
yeah,
you know,
deep ball threats. Yeah.
100%. Like Watson's going to retire. It's like, that was the golden era. You know, like that's what I'm talking about. It was just a few short years ago. And then,
yeah, drastically.
What was that about?
Yeah. What were we doing?
That's like my favorite phrase from you this morning is like, yeah, that sums up like Houston sports in like, you know, 2 seconds. Like, so what was all that about?
Is that how you
feel?
We're
going to look back. Like, how the hell did that happen?
What was that about?
713-572-4610 is how you can join us. You can text or call. Hit us up on Twitter at Brandon K. Scott, at Sean Bajani. Coming up next, the Astros and Yanks encore tonight at Minute Maid Park. Will the good guys be at full strength? Also, just how poorly did the Rockets handle the John Wall situation? That's next at Sports Radio 610.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
In for Payne and Pendergast, Sean Bajani, that is me, and he is Brandon Scott. You hear him quite regularly. This is my first time on the air at Sports Radio 610 in like almost a year, you know, maybe to like the week. It's been a year, and I'm glad to be here, but I feel like I've literally picked up where I left off, because the last time I did a show, it was Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, and it is still Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, except now he's not a member of the Texans anymore.
Right.
He's a member of the Cleveland Browns.
Deshaun Watson headlines and the Astros are really good at baseball.
Yeah.
Not much has changed. It's like somehow in a year, everything has changed and nothing has changed at all at the same damn time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really, really fair take, to be honest with you.
It feels like it, right?
And, you know, I don't mind the latter with the Astros still being very good at baseball.
Yes.
They were very, very good under their ace, Justin Verlander, yesterday. Another victory, a 2-0 victory over the Mets yesterday, escaping serious injury. I think, you know, we all think at this point, unless we're dealt with like a major blow, like, all right, Alvarez has this, or, you know, Pena's suffering these symptoms now. Like,
they were both evaluated for concussions after the game. But if you follow the social media reports and the reporters that were in the locker room, both were walking around in the locker room under their own power. So it doesn't seem like there's like an injury to a limb or anything like that that would have you concerned about their long-term viability. But I haven't seen yet or heard anything about what the findings are of their concussion evaluation. But even if they miss some time for that, you've got to think, okay, they're not out there. That's not an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman crashing heads. That's two baseball players that got the wind knocked out of them and did take shots to the head area and face.
Yeah,
but should be fine.
That's the thing that I kind of worry about, you know, because I mentioned Pena landed on Alvarez's right ankle yesterday, and it didn't roll. It was just, it was a very quick kind of thing. It landed, you know, kind of flush with the ground. But, you know, you're in the moment, you know, your adrenaline's pumping, and that might be something that maybe lingers the next morning.
It would be the definition of a freak accident if it was bad. If it was as bad as what you might worry.
Yeah.
That would be
what
you call
a freak
accident.
I think because of who it was that was involved, like, there's more concern there. You know, like, if it was somebody else, like, in the same situation happened, it's like, they'll brush it off, you know, because it's not like they were running full speed into each other. It's just kind of, it was a very, you know, mediocre collision. You know, they weren't, like, taking off, running, you know, sprinting, and bam! You know, like an open field tackle type thing.
The things that make the collision nasty are that both incidentally and accidentally, I guess, take a shot to the face area. And that both guys are well-built guys.
Yeah.
Like those are the things that bother me. It's like, those are the first things I thought about. I was like, ooh, a shot to the face. Don't want that. Ooh, a shot to the face from Yordan Alvarez or a shot to the face from Jeremy Pena. Don't want that, even if you're Yordan Alvarez or Jeremy Pena.
Exactly.
You know, like even if you're as big and as tough a guy as we see and presume them to be, you still don't want to get hit in the face by the other guy.
Exactly. Exactly. We talked about it earlier. You know, thankfully it wasn't Altuve and Alvarez, you know, running into each other. Oh my God.
Please no.
They escaped serious injury, and we'll certainly keep you updated here on Sports Radio 610 as more reports come out leading up to today's one-game series at Minute Maid Park against the New York Yankees. So good of a weekend series. They give you an encore today. Looking forward to that one. Boy, I wish we were seeing like Verlander-Cole matchup tonight at Minute Maid Park. That would be cool, but it was really good to see Verlander take care of business yesterday against the Mets. 8 innings, 2 hits, another gem. Stros winners of 7 out of their last 10 now. A commanding 11-game lead over anybody else in the AL West. And that's the second largest margin of any division leader in all of baseball next to the Yankees to lead the Sox by 13 games in the East. And, you know, I told you this earlier. What the Astros have done to this point, this level of domination within the division and everything that has transpired, like Bregman's struggles and Yuli's struggles, both of which who have kind of seemingly bouncing out of that now. But, you know, what you're getting from the starters on a routine day in and day out basis, just the dominance, like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That, you know, baseball is never, ever, and really any sport is ever going to give you what you think is should happen on paper. You can draw it up a billion different ways, but something is always going to happen that throws you for a loop. Baseball especially. You can go to any game, something weird's going to happen in it. Something you've never seen before, something you haven't seen in 10 years, you know? And that's what this Astros season has been like.
They had two guys with an immaculate inning.
Two guys with an immaculate
against the same dudes.
Gosh.
In that lineup. The Rangers, I believe, right?
I love that stuff. I love that stuff, and when that happened, you know, I was just, I go crazy on my research and I try to find like other weird things, and you can check my Twitter timeline for that. Like I found some really cool nuggets that date back all the way to like 1908. You're talking about like no hitters against the Yankees and immaculate innings and just stuff that the Astros have accomplished this year that you haven't seen in almost 100 years. It's very, very cool stuff.
Yes.
But the level of domination should be no surprise. I just think we expected much more of other teams within this division that would make the Astros sweat a little bit, considering, too, I mentioned the struggles of Bregman and Yuli throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, well, and the thing about the rest of the division is that the Angels seem to be that team that we do this with every year.
Yeah.
Like, I remember...
Because they have, like, one of the best hitters in all of the sport. Well, now they have two of them, in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
I remember before last season, so before the 2021 season, listening to all of the baseball experts that I trust, like the ones that are insiders even more so than I am, the ones that just strictly cover baseball, the ones that just strictly cover the Astros. They don't do Rockets and Texans and NBA and NFL and everything else like we do here at the radio station. This is their bag. This is what they do. And they swore up and down last year, okay, 2021, that the Angels would be the ones that would challenge the Astros in the American League West, and watch out for the Angels, right? Didn't happen. Mike Trout was injured. Anthony Rendon apparently is always injured now. Shohei Ohtani had a historic season, MVP-type level season, but they couldn't piece it together, and it wasn't even the Angels that were the threat in the division. It was the Mariners. Right. In years past, it's been the A's. The A's don't appear to be trying anymore. They're in rebuild mode. But that's who it's been. This year, okay, reasonable minds expect you get a healthy Mike Trout, who's been excellent, by the way. You get a healthy Mike Trout. You get him. You get Shohei Ohtani, that version of what you saw last year.
Right.
You get him back. Okay. And let's see if Anthony Rendon is healthy. He ain't. But you put all that together and you say, well, you know what? Pitching is always the problem for them. They don't ever do a bad job of going to go get out, you know, position players and hitters, but they don't get pitching. They go out and get Noah Syndergaard, who's had his injury history. This is a proven year for him, but even that's not enough. This is just who the Angels are. Like, they're the team that takes a bunch of swings and misses.
You know, at the end of April, they were up 2.5 games.
Yeah.
When the Astros, they got up to a 14-8 start, and it's been like, you know, downhill ever since then, basically. And, you know, that expectation that the Angels are going to be there, that drops off very, very quickly. But just kind of like Bregman's historically started off very slow to his seasons, he had a really quick start this year. I mean, the Astros as a team were like teetering, and it was like, all right, this is a really good team. It's proven. We know what they can do. And that's what I love about, you know, top to bottom, this lineup is we're having arguments about where Yuli's hitting in this lineup. We're having arguments about why Bregman is still batting where he is. Why don't you move him down to 6 or 7 to help him bounce out? Well, Dusty can always have the last laugh, at least this stretch, because over the course of the last 2 weeks, Bregman's hitting at a 400 clip.
Having arguments about why your catcher, who you never expected to hit in the first place, why your catchers can't hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, catchers that no one expects to hit aren't hitting, and we're like, why aren't the catchers hitting? Because you want so desperately for this baseball team.
But then you got one that throws out a 2-run pop in the 9th inning yesterday and helps win you a ball game. You know, and that's what I talk about. High leverage situations, big time situations. You're a professional hitter. This is what Jason Castro has, you know, done over the course of his time here as an Astro in his second stint. He's Brandon Scott, Sean Bajani with you. 713-572-4610. Final segment already is upon us. Maybe the most critical piece of evidence within this Watson saga. B. Scott's going to break that down for you when we come back. And we'll finish off with the Astros, get you ready for this one gamer with the Yankees. Oh, we got to get to the John Wall stuff. You got to take on the Wall and Rockets saga that officially ended yesterday as well. We'll do all that next at Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
In for Payne and Pendergast, Sean Bajani and Brandon Scott this morning. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to get in on the final segment with us. Maybe the most critical piece of evidence within the Watson saga. This is something that you and I talked about off the air earlier in the show, Brandon. And I think this is something like when we talk about this Watson saga and the lawsuits and the hearing, which is entering its third day today, like it can get very messy very quickly and it's very convoluted. You made this argument very simple and laid it out in such a way that I think it's very easy for the layman to understand. I want you to do that again. You feel like there is critical piece of evidence within this saga that needs to be understood by all in going forward in this case.
Well, specifically more so about the Texans lawsuit and what their what their involvement is, alleged involvement, and what the linkage is to the Texans. And again, this is important too for all of you, with anyone with Watson fatigue or think that this thing is being overplayed. It's in our backyard, front step, porch, patio, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's right here among us with the Texans being named in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. You can shrug your shoulders or look aside or whatever it is. But if you want to understand what the connection is that Tony Busby and the one accuser who's represented in this case that have the Texans named as defendants, there are a few key figures and a few key dates connected to those figures that matter and are like a point of contention for the Texans. Let's start with Roland Ramirez, the director of sports medicine and player care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is not to indict Roland Ramirez or make any kind of character judgments about him, the kind of job he does or the kind of person he is. I do not know him. Okay, but to be clear on what's happening with this lawsuit, they are alleging that at three different points, Roland Ramirez is notified of some kind of alarming or concerning behavior related to Deshaun Watson, and not just Deshaun Watson in a general sense, but specifically as it relates to massages and or women.
Right.
Okay. So in June 2020, the lawsuit alleges, we don't know the truth of the matter, right? But the lawsuit says in June 2020, Roland Ramirez is made aware by the owner of Genuine Touch, the massage therapy company that contracts with the Texans and has done so for years. The owner makes him aware that Deshaun Watson is reaching out to unqualified strangers, is the language that's used in the lawsuit. Unqualified strangers for massages.
Yes.
That's June 2020, an important date for a couple of reasons, because it's 2 months into the pandemic. It's the nitty gritty of the pandemic where nobody knows anything and nobody's even really taking like a stance on how serious COVID is or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know how COVID got politicized. This was even before that.
Right.
This was when everybody was just scared and confused, locked in their houses or barely mm-hmm. going out. In June 2020, that's when that information comes out. Side note, Deshaun Watson gets his contract in September
right.
of 2020, yes. okay? So that happens. We don't have a timeline for this part, but also somewhere within the framework of all of this, Roland Ramirez himself observes and himself loans a massage table to Deshaun Watson to take away from the facility, which in a vacuum may not be that weird, a little weird, but in a vacuum, not super concerning. But if in the context of at some point you've been told by the head of your, the owner of your contracted massage therapy company,
mm-hmm.
that this person is also reaching out to unqualified strangers on Instagram to do these things or to make these appointments, and they're borrowing massage tables from you to take away from the facility, those are two things that should maybe elicit some follow-up questioning.
Okay? Absolutely. To me, that's absolutely key. Yeah. And the height of the pandemic, you know, is really the crux here, because if you're, you know, about to pay a guy, you know, $160 million over the course of the next 4 years, and this is the height of the pandemic, like, it is in your best interest that you secure the face of your franchise, your star, that if he's seeking treatment, it should be from nobody else other than the one that is contracted with your organization, or just strictly from the organization's staff to begin with. That's it.
Yeah.
So Tony Busby in this lawsuit, you know, has to be able to prove that, or at least present that beyond reasonable doubt, that the Texans acted negligent in allowing or enabling the face of their franchise, Deshaun Watson, you know, by supplying non-disclosure agreements, massage tables, rooms at the Houstonian, seeking outside care from unqualified, therapists, you know, to this guy. He has to be able to prove that the Texans were negligent, that they knew about this, and, you know, they knew about the complaints, And, you know, you talk about these strange people outside of the organization that were not subject to the same testing regulations regular employees would have been subject to. Like, that puts not just Watson, but that puts every other member of that team or employees of that staff at risk at that point in time. Like, that should have been, you know, chief concern then. And it should still be chief concern now for Busby, because he has to prove that the Texans were negligible in all of those things. But that's why I don't believe there's any way, anyhow, the Texans in large as an organization, and I'm talking about like from Caserio, the head coach, you know, on down to essential staff, there's no way they did not know that Watson was doing these things on the side. Like, you're not just going to keep a massage table, but hush hush between you and, you know, what's his name? Roland Ramirez.
Right.
Like, people talk, coaches talk, players talk, things get out, things get leaked. Like, well, when it's this often in such a short amount of time, there's no way.
Well, so to be fair, so Caserio wasn't here yet, but also, like, they could have known that something, it seems like they knew that something odd or strange was happening, but they could have possibly not known the degree, or extent of which. Like, I've thought this, Sean, from reading the lawsuit and also just kind of following this whole thing all the way through. It feels like whatever, if there was a blind eye that the Texans turned, whatever it may be, like if there was a blind eye or negligence, that they were aware that Deshaun Watson had some conduct or some behavior that's consistent with what we're talking about here, but maybe attributed to, and this is in part wanting to believe the best in their star player, their best player, their most expensive player, maybe attributed whatever was going on to more promiscuity and like more of just a sexual promiscuous kind of thing versus predatory. Right. They're thinking he's promiscuous, not necessarily a predator. It's got to be like sort of the mentality or the belief that the Texans are going into this with in order to like feed their best.
I get what you're saying.
Believe the best of themselves.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But there's this, too. While you're explaining this, I'm thinking like, all right, but he didn't go out and find these women by himself just on Instagram. Like, chances are he's probably recommended.
Well, one of the women in this lawsuit, okay, which is another figure who we haven't even mentioned yet, is also somebody who both works with the Texans, not in an official capacity, but works with players for the team and also refers clients to Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, she's literally a person who's linked to both sides. Linked to the team in terms of been around them before and linked to Deshaun in terms of knowing his tendencies and personality.
And that's what makes me think, like, man, how deep this thing cuts, you know, beyond Watson with other players and things like that. John Lopez, Landry Locker in studio now. They got the In the Loop coming up at 10 o'clock. I have not seen either one of you guys.
Hello, boys.
Great to see you.
It's great to see you. I follow you on all your social media. You're just a rock star on there. All the great, cool things.
He's like in full dad mode.
He's awesome.
I don't even know if he'd had a kid last time I saw you.
Well, he's two, yeah.
No, I hadn't cut because COVID had just started. So, yes, we are right there. You've come a long way.
Yeah. I am in full dad mode now, by the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad. You know, I like your discussion right there. And it made me think about something that I don't think I've even mentioned with Landry. You know, football organizations, coaches especially, they ask a lot of questions if something is out of their control.
Mm-hmm.
Like a guy working with a quarterback coach. In fact, there were rumors that Deshaun Watson, working with Quincy Avery, the Texans weren't crazy about that. So, yeah, what you said, you know, there about, you know, there's no way they could have not known. Someone had to have asked the question, wait a minute, he's getting a massage somewhere else? We got massage therapists. We got this. We got that. They just want to ask that question. You know what I mean? Just the control freak that is in the genes of coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately ask that question.
Well, and what about also, though, if you are, like, think about what it takes to become a Secret Service agent and the head of security for an NFL team.
Right.
What must that say about you? Who must you be to be that person?
Right.
Like, what is your background got to be? And I'm assuming that a person with that kind of background, who's Secret Service background,
asks a lot of questions
and is the head of security for an NFL team.
Yeah.
when presented with a situation of, hey, I'm being blackmailed, extorted, my personal information has been put on the internet, I'm being threatened, and then you go and take an action from there that includes producing me with an NDA and having the post scrubbed, you would assume that also as a part of that action, you ask at least a follow-up question about...
Or start digging in.
Like, what did I say earlier? Totally different context. Hey, what was that about?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you would be like, hey, okay, hey, Deshaun, yeah, I got your back, man. We're going to figure it out, man. No worries.
But what's going on?
But hey, man, what's this about?
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I think we all want to know right now. Like, sure, the Texans have been named in this lawsuit. Okay, what's the end game here? What are the ramifications potentially? What sort of punishment, what sort of consequence is this organization going to face if, in fact, they've been found to be negligible or in the wrong completely in this matter?
And I'm not sure that actually exists. I feel like a lot of this is posturing and wanting to make a point and a lot of crusading going on.
Just for the optics
and also maybe, you know, wanting to get them to settle, like,
right,
without having to actually win the case. You can win it by just beating them to death with lawsuits after lawsuits and public embarrassment after public embarrassment, and then you get your payday that way. So I don't know if there's an actual, you know, an actionable item to say, hey, we're going to get you on this, as opposed to, hey, we're going to publicly shame you into whatever submission we want.
And now for something completely different that Landry and Figgy and I were talking about before we get into what we're having our show today. You guys both have young children.
We do.
We're talking about that McDonald's thing going on on Twitter. A dude has a kid, no longer with the baby mama. The baby mama has other kids. He brings McDonald's only for his kid, not the other kids.
Dude, I love that Figgy was all over this story because I could not find it. And Figgy traffics in some places on the internet where that to me are just like different, because I kept seeing people talking about it, but I could not find the story. Where is this story?
I have a hunch Landry and I are gonna go to blows on this one.
You think so?
Yeah.
So where do you guys stand on this?
So he had a kid. He has a kid, and he only brought McDonald's to his own kid, but not his other kids.
Yeah. They're not his other kids.
They're not his other kids. Yeah. They're not his kids. His baby mama's kids.
His baby mama got a bunch of babies and with different baby dads.
It's not his job. Not his job.
We will see.
Not his job.
We will see.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about that.
Hey, look.
That's where I fall on it.
I agree with Landry on this. Now, I think that just as an adult, you know, whether it's your kid or not, that you usually have an obligation and want to take care of the kids, whether they're your kids or not. But it is true. It ain't his job.
We'll get into
them. Ain't his kids.
I disagree.
He ain't stepdaddy either.
Cheap meal, though. Like, go ahead. Like, keep the kids happy, because you're going to have to deal with it after the fact.
Who kids?
Well, you're around them. Like, you're the father.
No, he's not.
All I wanted to do was just throw it out there.
All right, we'll listen to y'all's discussion coming up in the loop with John Lopez, Landry Locker, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610. Keep it locked in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.